So, Ephesians.
I told Alex I was going to do a special type of sermon this week, but because it's come at the same time as the January transfer window, I've got the wrong scripture, and so I'm not doing that, Alex, if you're confused halfway through. More confused than normal anyway. So we're in Ephesians. I hasten to add that we are in Ephesians 1:15, and the January transfer window is now over, so we're back to normal. And Ephesians is written to the people in Ephesus. Now, if you remember the map there, and Ephesus was that place where there was the temple. Do you remember the temple for Artemis? And it was one of the 8 wonders of the world, or 7 wonders of the world at the time. Incredibly huge temple, and people travelled to it from miles around, and it was this great place that Paul says he likes everywhere that he goes, doesn't he? But he really liked it there because he stayed there. The proof was in the pudding. He was there for 3 years. And it's this place that's really close to Paul's heart. And it's as if the map's there again now. It's that place that was really close to Paul's heart.
Go on. Did it used to be there?
It was there. Yeah. Yeah. I can still see it in my mind. So it's really important, real place of power, actually, because people came to it from so far away to meet with this god Artemis that was all to do with all kinds of things, including fertility, signs and wonders, and spirit power was really... Can you tell Stoke beat Man United yesterday? I'm a little bit croaky, but that was... Sorry, Pete. I do mention this once more as well today. Sorry, can't help it. So Ephesus, this place of incredible power and importance and interest, and Paul really likes it there. Paul really cares about this place, and he's writing to them. Now, I hasten to add, if you read some commentaries, they'll tell you that it might not even be to the Ephesians, because some of the earlier manuscripts don't have Ephesus written in it. But we'll imagine it is, and I'm kind of assuming it is, and I'm assuming that very intelligent, far more intelligent people than me have discerned that, yes, it probably is to the Ephesians. But actually, that background doesn't matter as well, because we can just look at the text and see what the text tells us. But the likelihood is, it's written to the people of Ephesus, for whom Paul loved. Paul really cared for this area. The other thing that we need to remember is, it's talking about signs and wonders and God's power. And I also want to preface this with saying, that was then, and this is now. That doesn't mean that God doesn't work now in power and doesn't have authority now. But we have to, I think we have to understand that God was doing an incredibly new and different thing at that time. He was birthing the church. So what I don't want us to do is look through the book of Acts and say, these fantastic things, we don't see them now. I want to look at the book of Acts, even though we're not going to look at the book of Acts, but look at these words and say, those things did happen, and those kind of things can happen now, but the context is, God was doing an incredible thing, and a new thing, and a different thing, and God's church exploded in a way that it's never been seen before. And so I want to preface it with that as well, so we don't leave all depressed thinking, but we don't see God at work in this same way. Did you feel okay with that I've said that? You don't think I'm kind of doubting God in any way, do we? I hope not. So, here we go, looking at the passage in Ephesians. Have you ever, let me ask you this question before we begin. Have you ever wanted something that you've already got? Or wanted to do something and didn't think you could do it, but then found out that you could? It's a strange question, isn't it? There's a famous story I've heard a few times before about a man who was an art collector, and he wanted a particular painting, and he was rich, and he had not enough room to display all the art that he had. And he has got a proper name, it's a real story, and he gives this guy the challenge of going and finding this particular piece of art. And this man spends about a year, have you heard this story? I had. And he goes around for a year trying to find this piece of art, can't find it, and it turns out that it's in this art collector's warehouse, all dusty, in the corner, out of the way. And the story, the point of the story is, sometimes we can look for something, but we've already got it. Sometimes we can want to do something and think that we can't, but actually we can. We have the ability and the power within us to do it. And of course, the only example of football I'll give today is what happened at the weekend. Stoke never beat Man United. We never do. It's taken us 30 years. And I was up at the Technology Park on Unit 27 on Saturday, and I saw Jeremy Lefroy. There's a name drop, and he beckoned me over. And he asked me, he said, "Are you going to football today?" And I said, "I am." And he said, "Well, I hope we win," because he's a Stoke fan, he says anyway. He is a Stoke fan. He's a Stoke fan, in case he listens. And he said, "I hope we win." And I said, "We won't. We've got no chance. I don't know why I'm bothering." And I think I must have come across quite rude, actually. I said, "We're just going to go and we're going to lose. We're really poor at the moment. And I really don't know why I'm going." And he said, "No, we could do it." I said, "No." And he said, "Miracles happen, Matt. Miracles do happen." And I said, "Not these kinds, they don't." And that was it. And he left, and I left. And then they won. And sorry, I won't mention it ever again, I promise. But the point is, Stoke had the ability to do it. I know David Moyes thinks we were lucky and Match of the Day didn't present it as well as they could have done. But they had the ability. They had the power within them to do something that they thought they couldn't. And the burden of this passage is it's saying that that God's Spirit is in each one of us. And it's an incredibly powerful Spirit, but it's already there. He's not saying you have to do some magical words and you'll get them. He's saying God's Spirit and power at work in us is already there. Same as the piece of art was already there in his warehouse and he didn't know about it. And the same as that thing that happened yesterday. So, does that feel like our experience is the first question? Because I read this and I actually think, do you know what, this doesn't feel like my everyday experience. Will at House of Bread joked once, he said, and he gets pulled up for daft things that he says, but he often says, "If you want to see the power of God, come and spend a day with me." It's an incredibly obnoxious thing to say, isn't it? And he knows it is. But what he meant was that God does things because there's this sense, we believe, that we're doing what we're called to do, and that God just does things for us. And within our church, that's actually our experience, isn't it? That God opens doors for us. The new landlord, I wasn't going to say this, but the new landlord at the tech park came up to me the other day. I think Alex had kind of softened him up a little bit first. But he came up to me and he said, "Matt, every time I put the key in to the door of Unit 27, he said, it falls out." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "I think God's telling me to give it to House of Bread for the food bank." And I said, "Yeah, he is, I think. I think you're right." But that's the thing that God does. When we align ourselves to God and when we do the things that we feel we're called to do, God does work in mysterious, strange and powerful ways. Because if you explain that story to a non-Christian, they just wouldn't believe me. They'd think I'd hyped it up or I'd added to it. But that's the truth of it. And if we are open to God, if the eyes of our heart are open to God, this passage is saying that God will do mighty things through us. It might not feel like it, but actually when we take stock, that is our experience a bit. But God can do immeasurably more, can't he, if we were to give him more of ourselves. So we are actually going to look at the passage now. And the passage says two things that we're going to look at. The first one is really obvious, and that's the very beginning of the passage, and that is to pray often. And I think Alex touched on this last week, so we won't spend too long. But it says this, it says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit," and it goes on to pray for him. And it's very evident, isn't it? "I have not stopped giving thanks, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking." There's this sense, and we know that Paul likes the Ephesians, but there's this sense that it's really on his heart, that it's a frequent thing that Paul does. And if we read any letter that Paul writes, they all begin with this, "I'm always praying for you, I'm always remembering you in my prayers." Paul doesn't just kind of meet once in a while and pray. It's part of Paul's routine. Alex said last week, didn't he? He said how we pray on a Wednesday and it's really important and we don't ever move it for something else. It always takes precedence. And we were late on Wednesday, and I was late, and then Alex, something happened to him. And I tried to catch him out, and I said, Alex, let's just not bother praying. And he said, no, we'll pray. So he stuck to his word. But I was trying to catch you out in a fun way. If I had caught him out, I wouldn't have told you, because that would be that would lower your. But we did pray, even though we were 10 minutes late. So he's saying, keep praying. Have a look. Turn over to Ephesians 5:19. Who would like to read Ephesians 5:19? I've got four scriptures. We'll go through them all. I've got them chronologically as they go through the Bible. Who could read Ephesians 5:19?
Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Thanks, Stuart. So he's saying, always give thanks, always giving thanks for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's tons and tons of passages where Paul says, always giving thanks, always be thankful for what God has done, always be praying. Turn over to 4, I'll do this one, Philippians 4:6. Perhaps someone else could get ready with Colossians 3:15. It's a little bit further on. I'll read the Philippians one. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Can any of us really say that this is us? It doesn't reflect me. My life is chaotic and hectic. I pray when I can. But he says, do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation. So all the time, Paul says, we should be praying. Has anyone got Colossians ready? 3:15.
Yep. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Do it all. Everything we do, Paul is continually saying, everything we do should be immersed in prayer, immersed in the psalms, immersed in worship. The final one, we don't need to turn to it, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, always pray. Make it part of your routine. At our house, we don't for the R factor do it, but Ruby does grace usually. And she prays an ever so strange prayer. She normally burps, probably 30% of the time she does a mouth burp in the middle of it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the anticipation of the food. But she normally does that. And she normally asks God to have or hope that he's had a Merry Christmas. They might not be the most theological prayers, but it's a routine, isn't it? And I think what Paul says, and I think Alex was saying this last week, is we must make prayer part of our routine, everything we do. And it's really hard, isn't it? But every day we should put that routine of praying for others, praying continually, every situation. That's the first bit that Paul says. The second thing is he actually gets into what he prays for. So have a look at verse 17. I keep asking the God of our Father, that the God of our Father, the God of Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. So we read this verse earlier and it goes on to say the incomparable power, great power for those who believe. And it has this picture of Jesus seated at the right hand in the heavenly realms, all rule and authority. That's what Paul's getting at. That's what Paul's aiming at. But his actual instruction to pray is that we pray that people would know him better. So he doesn't say, pray that we would see incredible signs and wonders. He doesn't say, pray that God's power would be shown in an incredible way. His actual prayer, possibly because he loves the Ephesians who are still over there, Possibly because he loves the Ephesians and he knows them and he cares about them. But his actual prayer is like a baseline prayer of, I just pray that you would know them better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope he has called you to. So he says the eyes of your heart, that word for heart is kardios. It makes Greek sound really easy, doesn't it? Well, that's, we can get that link, can't we? Cardio, kardios. And it doesn't just mean our heart. So the eyes of our heart means the intellectual part of ourself and the emotional part of ourself. So it means the whole of us. The heart is the good example because it's what keeps us alive, it's what keeps the blood pumping around, isn't it? But the eyes of our heart means the intellectual, so it means we think about the Bible, we read it, those books that Alex had on offer this morning, we read all of those books. That's our intellectual side. But we also have to have our emotional side. The verse 14 just before this, the bit that I thought I was preaching on, was about the Holy Spirit, how it's a seal for all that God is doing. And so we have to be open intellectually to God as well as emotionally. And I think what most people can do is we can be very intellectually open to God. So we will study and we will think lots and we will know lots. That's called the head knowledge, isn't it? And the other extreme is people who might have lots of heart knowledge, lots of experience about God, lots of things that they've felt about God. I spoke to someone the other day who came to volunteer at House of Bread, and they said they'd been to a church, they're looking for a church, and they didn't feel God's spirit was there. And I had this really interesting conversation with him of saying, actually, that church that you've just described, I can name several people from that church who are incredibly engaged in what we do, incredibly giving of their time and fruits coming from what they do. And what I was trying to, the point I was trying to make was, when we go to a church and we don't have an emotional moment, that doesn't mean that God isn't there. But it also doesn't mean that church is all about intellect and thinking and teaching. It's both. It's sensing God through what we read and what we hear, but it's also sensing God through his spirit. Okay, so it's both things. And Paul's saying that the eyes of our heart need to be open. The whole of our person needs to be open to what God is doing and what God is saying. So the eyes of our heart are open that we may know the hope of God. To Timothy, Paul again writes that God has called us to himself. The eyes of our heart need to be open to the fact, the reality that God has called us and is continually calling us to himself. There's loads of really great words in this passage. To his glorious inheritance. That word inheritance comes up throughout the New Testament. The same word for inheritance is found in Acts chapter 20. It's actually the bit where Paul's talking to the Ephesian elders. And Paul is talking about the inheritance of now, of the things that God is doing now. Paul is saying the eyes of our heart, our whole person, needs to be open to the hope that God has called us to himself, to impact and reach people and see God working now. It's not just in the age to come. That word inheritance means in the future, doesn't it? But it also means now. It's a present tense word. The same word that he uses for these Ephesian elders. And then it's the key line. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. And that's the point where we go, gosh, that's hard to understand. That's hard for me to really believe. But that's what it says. That's what Paul is saying. The incomparably great power. Now that sentence is really interesting. When you read it in the original language, in the Greek, there's three words that Paul uses for power. There's three words that are contained in that sentence for power. The first one is the word dunamis. I think I've written there. No, I thought I had it. The first one is the word dunamis, and it means a powerful and an explosive view of God's power. And it's used in the same way as we would say an incredible amount of water would have an incredible amount of power. We don't need to look far in the news to understand what that means. So part of God's power that is going to be seen through us is this dunamis power, this explosive, incredible to view, in, you know, shocking power of God. The second one is the word ichthus, which means an authority. It means God has an authority. God will have an authority over his people. God can have an authority over the people around us. God has this dunamis power, this powerful, explosive power, but also this given authority that we see explained when we see Christ is at the right hand. Christ is seated in the heavenly realms. The power that we have access to is this authority power, that we can take authority on God's behalf if it's his will. The third one, and the third, which is the most interesting one, is the word energia, which is where we get the word energy from. And it means God working in people's lives, God being revealed to people, but in a way that was new, in a way that meant that they weren't harmed, is the actual translation that I found for it. So Exodus 33, we see Moses, God goes past Moses, doesn't he? And Moses goes into the cleft of the rock, because if he sees God face to face, it will destroy him, it will be too much for him. And this word energia, this word for power, means that we have this incredible encounter and awareness of who God is, but in a way that doesn't harm us. It's actually quite a gentle word. And these three things are the way in which God uses us. He uses us in a powerful way, in a way that has authority, and in a way that reveals himself to people, in a way that makes people know him and actually meet him. It's the same word, that energia, as in Ephesians 4:16, the church is a body that works together, that the power that the church has when it works together, all different parts, is that same power that reveals. We see who God is through the church. So the summary for where we are at the moment is, Paul says to pray often, pray all the time. Pray for others, but pray that they would know God more, because it's completely linked. We pray that people know God more, that they know him better, that their hearts are their eyes of their hearts are open, that they know the hope, they know the inheritance, and then they see his incomparably great power. So we pray often, and we pray that they would know God more. And as they know God more, as people, and as we know God more, we have more understanding of who God is, and we perhaps pray more the correct things, and we see God at work. That's Paul's equation, if you like. So then we have the from verse kind of 20 downwards, is this picture of Jesus. And let me read that quickly, and then we'll finish in a few minutes. It says, the same mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also the one to come. So it's this picture of Jesus seated at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, there's that word, authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, whether it be Artemis or any other name, not only in this present age, so not only now, but in the age to come, all things are under his feet. He is appointed in it to be head over everything, head over the church, which is the body, which Ephesians 4 tells us displays God and works for God so that people will be revealed and drawn to him. This is the position of Jesus now. This is what Paul says. That's not our position. We don't have everything under our authority. We don't have dominion over anything else. It's not our will and our choices, but Jesus does. God does. So what Paul is saying is that as we know him better, as the eyes of our hearts, our whole person, our emotional side, our intellectual side, as we know him more, our eyes are opened, we do and we pray his will. And as we do and we pray his will, we see, Paul says, God's power at work, God's power that is incredibly bright, the same power as you see a firework in the air and you go, wow, the same power of a load of water forcing itself on a dam, that incredible, unstoppable power, that we will see it. That we'll have that, see that same power that God tells us to take authority over things. Not the things we choose, but as we see the world through God's eyes and we take authority over them, Paul is saying that we'll have that authority. That energy, that as we pray the prayers that God would be revealing himself, that people would meet with God in that incredibly powerful way, Paul is saying if we pray often and pray that people would know him more, we would pray those correct prayers that people would meet God in that incredible, powerful way. And the key to it is, the interesting thing for me is that it's already in us. In the same way as that picture was in the warehouse, the potential was in the football team to go and do what they did, that same power is already within us. And it might not feel like it, and we might read that, and I've read that this week and thought, do you know, it doesn't always feel like that. But we have to take Paul at his word. We have to accept that was then and this is now, and it might be different, and we can't quite explain why we pray for people to get healed and they don't. It's really hard and it's really tough. But we have to take that Paul at his word. That if we pray often, pray for people to know God, that we will see God's power in incredible ways. So I'm going to pray now for us that would be true for us. And then Jeff's going to lead us in some worship. And we're going to just spend maybe 5-10 minutes praying for people, praying that they would know God better, praying that we would see God work through them, praying that God would move in Sandon Road and this community as we ask that God would open the eyes of people's hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you teach us to pray often. Lord, you teach us to know you more through worship, through time spent with you. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to follow that example that Paul gives us. Lord, help us to continually pray for one another. Help us to make that part of our routine, Lord. And Father, may we pray the prayers that you call us to make. Father, may we not want to see incredible healings for the sake of incredible healings, but may we just see people know you more. I pray for each one of us here, Lord, that they would know more of you, know more of your wisdom, that we would know you better. I pray for each one of us here that our hearts might be enlightened. Lord, that we might intellectually know more of you, that we might read more of you, that we might find out more of you through books and conversation. But Lord, I pray that we would know more of you in that emotional way as well, that openness to your spirit, that openness to who you are, that seal of who you are. We pray that we would be open to that as well. And we pray, Lord, that as we open the eyes of our hearts, that we would know more the hope that you have for us, the inheritance that you have for us, that we would see this community the way you see it, that we would see the world as you see it. And we pray, Lord, that as we pray more and more and more for people to know you more and more and more, that we would see you work in an incredible way. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us to have that same love that Paul had for the Ephesians as help us to have that love for this community and this world and those people that you've called us to minister to. Mm. Amen.
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 Have you got a song there, Jeff?
If you could turn please to number 449.